Welcome to Turn 1 Wild Mikado, where we'll talk everything related to grinding MTG events and making content. The idea is to give you a backstage pass into the lives of some serious MTG players, and this week, we're talking teams. From building SCG teams all the way to the PT. I'm your host for the show, Zach Allen, and joining me today we have Kat.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing, Kat?
I'm doing well, just a regular Sunday of jamming as much content creation as I can into like 12 hours.
So. Normal day in the life, huh?
Yeah, right? There's never a day off. I'm like, oh, I get a weekend off. It's never actually a weekend off.
No. Weekends are the work week for MTG players, right?
Yes, definitely.
All right. So anyway, we've got some exciting news. Kat, I believe you just joined a big team.
I did. I joined Team Lotus Box a couple of weeks ago. My first open for the team was SCG Syracuse, and I also played in SCG Baltimore. Was it last weekend?
Yep.
It's been, it was very, very surreal, overwhelming.
Oh, I believe it. So what led you to actually join Team Lotus Box?
So in a GP Detroit, Zan and I were testing spirits. He was trying to prove to me why I should play Vile in the deck. He was right, and I ended up doing it, and it was very, very good, and I still do it. And we were just playing the mirror, and it was just the two of us in the convention center, and he was like, Kat, there's something I've been wanting to ask you. I talked to all the guys about this, and we'd really like it if you joined Team Lotus Box. And I just kind of sat there and was like, what?
Yeah, right?
It came out of nowhere. I just remember Lotus Box being the first team that I knew on SCG tours, like when I played in my first big open in Cincinnati almost exactly a year ago, and it just blew me away that this team that I've almost idolized was like, look, we want you. And it was just amazing. And of course I said yes, obviously. I'm now on Team Lotus Box, and I'm really excited because I also get to do something that I really enjoy, which is social media and branding. And so I've taken over all the social media and the branding and the like the outward representation of Lotus Box, and it's been so fun so far, and I'm just so excited for what our future holds as Lotus Box and how I like working with Zan to promote it and get products, and we have sleeves and do all of that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. For those people not fully aware, Lotus Box is, I think, pretty unquestionably the best team on the SCG circuit right now. I think they started about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
about 2 years ago. Before that, SCG never really had teams. There'd be more like stores would just send, stores, people wearing the store t-shirts. And there were some teams, but nothing big. But there were like groups of SCG grinders that kind of just dominated SCG events. And then Lotus Box kind of came out of nowhere. It was, some players from the team were putting up event results, but they weren't really a team at that point. And then all of a sudden they came together, branded, made a team, and they've just been winning ever since.
Yeah, the team is incredible players. So it's Zan Syed's the captain, and he's, the way he thinks about Magic in the game is just amazing. And I love like sitting and talking about standard decks, modern decks, anything, because I just want to absorb all the information and knowledge that I can from him. He's so smart, and he loves the game so much. And then it's Collins Mullins, Ben Nikolich, Jonathan Rossum, and Dylan Donegan.
Yep. Yeah, all great players.
Oh, they're all incredible. I was like going through like their finishes and stats to like work on their Twitters and stuff like that with the social media stuff, and I realized like Dylan has like 13 open top eights.
He's also won an invitational too, I believe.
Yes, and I think he's the youngest player to ever win an invitational. And like they're just, Jonathan Rossum just got his 10th open top eight. They all have open wins. Collins is like this podcast, and he loves teaching and coaching. Like they're all just so involved with the game, and they love it so much. And it's really surreal to be a part of that now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I having played the SCG circuit, for a while. I've played against, I think, everybody on the team at least once. And, Yeah. No, I've never played against Dylan Donegan, but I've played against everybody else at least once, and my record against them is not great, which, you know, kind of shows because my record against most other people is pretty good. So,
They're,
you know,
phenomenal.
They are. They're very, very good. But yeah, anyway, so you joined Lotus Box and you're doing social media. How was your first event with them?
So Syracuse was, like, first getting to, like, strut in my jersey, like, was really awesome. I don't have the new jersey yet because Suzanne put in, like, an order for the new one, so I was wearing the old jersey. But somehow he had an extra small, which was awesome. And I was like, God, it's meant to be. Yes. And, and like, getting to, like, walk in and, like, I, like, don't think I stopped smiling the entire day because it was, like, this is amazing. And I had multiple, like, opponents recognize me, like, oh, well, obviously you take this game very seriously, like, say things like that. And it just and congratulate me. And it was one of those things where I'm just sitting there, like, so humbled because this is just such an incredible opportunity. And I never, a year ago, I would just still thought that I wasn't making day two. And, like, I wanted to be making day two. I still want to be doing well. But, like, a year ago, I was just, this is never where I would have imagined being. And it's just been an amazing journey. And I just, I'm just very, very thankful and very grateful. But Syracuse was really awesome. I ended up making day two. Unfortunately, the rest of the team did not. It was not a good tournament for a lot of grinders. Like, there was several of us that did, like, well, and then, but it was, like, I feel like the majority of, like, what we call, like, our grind, like, the group of people who, like, really grind the tour, it wasn't a great tournament. And there's always those, though. But I ended up doing, like, top 32.
Highest finishing placer on Lotus Box?
I was the highest finishing, which was, like, it would have been really great if all of us had done really well. So it would have been, like, oh, I get to feel like we all did well, and then I, like, earned my keep almost, like, I proved myself, but I still got to feel like I, like, proved myself as a member of the team, which felt really nice.
Absolutely.
Really, really nice.
I mean, for the first event, it's, like, it's hard to feel bad for, like, obviously, like, everybody wants to do well all the time, but, like, they win so much, it's hard to feel bad for them, you know, not making day two at one event, because you know they're going to be top 8 in the next one or whatever.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened. Rossum was a finalist in Baltimore, and sure. The rest of the team was Zan top 16, and the rest of the team top 32, and I top 32'd the classic! Woo!
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so the team's just, they're really great, and it's been a really fun to be on there so far. We've done, like, a couple of hangouts or discords with like, testing new standard, and it's definitely just been interesting so far. I really enjoyed it. They're having, like, a group chat and, like, getting to bounce ideas off, and it's just really, really cool.
Sure. I mean, we're going to get more into the testing process in a little bit.
Yeah.
As for Syracuse, I was also there, and yes. can confirm you were smiling the whole time. Every time I saw you, you just walked around with a big grin on your face.
That was a good tournament. For so many reasons.
Yep. My turn was not as good there. I was 6-2 playing a win in for day two with the deck I thought was really good. And my deck just, like, didn't function in the last round at all. It's just, like, missing lands and drawing a bunch of expensive spells the whole time and just getting beat down by humans. And didn't go great there. Playing the Legacy Classic the next day. More of as a joke, I built, like, a Legacy Miracles deck that just, like, didn't have a win condition in it. It was just all card draw, and Jace, the Mind Sculptor, is, like, my win condition. And I ended up top 8ing that Classic, so that was a lot of fun. The deck was hilarious. It was great.
I can't believe that you ended up top 8ing that Classic. When you, like, came to, I was like, wait, so how are you doing, like, with no win con? You were like, well, I just made top 8.
Yep. People keep conceding. I don't know. They just got really tired of being Jaced out, so you know, it was wonderful.
I don't blame them.
Oh, no, they should concede. They were dead, but
they're just going to drag it out on themselves if they didn't concede.
Yep. I had 4 accumulated knowledges in the deck and multiple times got to draw 4 cards off of it, which is just a wonderful feeling.
Gross. That's so gross. Damn.
Yeah, so that was – the whole event was a lot of fun. Came back and did some testing, but – before we get to that, I want to talk about a team I just joined.
Yes, I was about to ask you about that. So I heard that you are on a team. What is your team?
Yeah, so my store, RAW, put together a team for the Pro Tour Series. And for those people that aren't aware, RAW is classically one of the biggest stores in in Magic, I guess, kind of the history of Magic. Before there was MTGO and before there was, you know, teams and all of that, kind of when Magic was still getting its foothold, RAW had a disgusting team of players. It was like Patrick Chapin, Mark Herberholtz, Ari Lax, Corey Burkhart, just, I think there's more I'm forgetting, but it was just an unbelievable team. And they would go to events and win, and all of them would make the Pro Tour. And this is all before I started playing. I had no part of this, but they had this awesome history. And, you know, there's even past articles I've, like, gone back and read where they're just talking about how awesome RAW's team was. And when I first started playing Magic, I went to RAW because it was my local store. I'm just, like, close to it. And started playing there, and I'd, like, go to events and just get smashed by all these really good players. And I was like, shoot, I need to get better, figure out how to win. And, you know, long story short, I just put a lot of time in, practice, got a lot better, and, you know, was rewarded with a Grand Prix top 8 recently. And then after I top 8ed, the owner, Pam, came to me and said, hey, I'm putting together a Pro Tour Series team, and I want you to be on it. I was like, what? No way. This is an absolute dream come true. So I'm not allowed to announce the full roster yet because we literally just finalized the team roster yesterday. So they're going to announce it. But needless to say, there's a bunch of people a lot better than me on the team and then me. So we'll see how that goes. I'm really feeling a lot of pressure to kind of live up to, you know, everyone else's expectations and just the store's reputation, all of that. So super excited to be on it. We'll see how it turns out. But yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm super happy for you. That's amazing. First of all, you're going to the PT. Second of all, it's a PT Atlanta, so I'll get to be there, and I'm super excited to hang out. And third, you can't announce the roster, but of course you told me the roster, and that is just amazing. Like, it's going to, when y'all announce it, it's going to be incredible. It's so stacked. Yeah. It's going to be.
I'm so psyched. They sent me the list. I was like, no, what? No. Like,
there's no way. Team. What?
There's a mistake. Like, you, why am I here? But, you know, I think that's like the initial feeling you get when you look at it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I know all those players are really good, but I don't, like, I would bet that I work just as hard as all of them, you know? So I feel like I belong, and I'm happy to just represent the store, and I'm going to do my best. So we'll see how it goes. But now that we've got the actual specifics of teaming out of the way, let's hit into some dynamics of it. So you mentioned earlier kind of testing in the Discord. You want to kind of get into some of the testing process, I guess, more just like the actual process you do with Lotus Box now than, you know, some results of it, I guess?
Yeah. So I've only been on the team about 3 weeks, and Zan's always like sending us hangouts to come in and jump in. Most of the time they're during the day. I work during the day, so that doesn't always work out. But it's been very much like we send lists. We're like, we like this list. We talk about it. The usual, I feel like, with even like friend groups of grinders and stuff, like you send a list, you talk, you discuss. There's a little less, no, that's just bad kind of talk. It's much more like uplifting and supportive, which is really nice. And I really appreciate that. And then we'll get on like Discord or a hangout and test the decks, ask questions. For standard, it's been a lot of like archetype discussion, sending some lists. Like, we'll just go on there, and the way I build decks is I literally put every single card that's in those colors that could be like reasonable in that archetype. So like for building, like trying to build red white, I literally put every single red white card on Emoto in one deck and then started trimming from there. And sure. Which is a little bit different than some people do it, but I don't like want to miss a card.
No, that's fair.
It was
thorough.
Yeah. And it was really awesome to have like Rossum and Zan be like, well, why do you want this card? What about this one? I think you missed this card, just to have them just during the deck building process, which was really different that they were able to, like, they put in, they had input and inside, and we're like, well, we think we're gonna see this deck. I don't know, most of the time it's like I build the decks by myself and I would like ship them to people and they'd like give me input, but like actually having people there while I'm building the deck was really, really cool.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Actually, I know, like, Lotus Box is really good. They have a lot of really good players. But I know one of the things they're famous for is kind of pioneering this, you know, we're going to test all the time in, you know, like a Discord or like a Google Hangout or something like that. Like a chat room online, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, yeah, so that's something they kind of started where, like, other PT teams had done this. And I'm sure other PT teams will do that when they're testing for a Pro Tour. But they kind of just did this, like, you know, this is just how we play Magic now when we're testing. You know, we're playing on MTGO. We have people here. We're talking over plays. We're not, you know, it's not cheating. It's not like we're trying to, like, team up to win a match. It's like most of the time, you know, your opponent's, the person you're, like, in the Google Hangout with isn't even, like, watching your game that much. You'll, like, you'll call them over and be like, hey, what do you think about this? Or, you know, this play, like, this is the situation, this play. And it kind of feels like a team tournament, actually, mm-hmm. where it's just, like, you know, you call over your teammate for, like, a specific play and be like, hey, what do you think about this? And I think that really has lent to their success. Like, I obviously they're good players, but I don't think they'd be nearly as successful if they hadn't come up with that awesome formula, I guess, for testing and improving.
Yes, Zan's very big on the groupthink and on testing together and having input and basically, like, forcing each other to, like, understand why we're doing what we're doing. Like, he's constantly asking questions like, so why are you doing that? What are you playing towards? Like, what are you trying to accomplish with that? And he's constantly asking that. He's very, very big on that. He's also, like, in paper. So, like, when we're at actual tournaments and testing, like, at night or after, like, day one or on Fridays, he is the same thing. Like, so what are you trying to accomplish with that? Like, what about this and this line? And constantly pushing us to think deeper about the game. And it's really incredible. And I love it. I love every second of it, the challenge of it, even if I'm sitting there like, well, I don't really know, but now I'm feeling kind of defensive because, you know, I don't really know. Like, it's really, like, that's good that I'm being pushed to, like, understand, like, why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I feel like it's really lent that mindset and that system of testing has really lent itself to their success.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, just from my perspective, like, you know, I've known you for a while now. And, you know, before you were a good player, but I've already seen a decent amount of improvement in your game in just 3 weeks. So it definitely works.
Yeah.
And just to that note, like, they started doing that. And then almost a year ago, after I saw, like, you know, I had played against these players before they were on the team. And, you know, they're all good. But I didn't think any of them were, like, the best players on the SCG circuit, you know. And then they started doing this testing. All of a sudden, they're winning, like, all of the events. And it's like, well, what? How are they doing this? And then I kind of, like, talked to them. They're like, yeah, well, we're doing this Google Hangout. They kind of, like, explained the thing to me. And I was like, well, you know what? Maybe I should try to replicate that. Maybe they just have the right way here. So for me personally, I kind of developed a team of just, like, players I played with in Michigan where we have a Google Hangout. And it's mostly me and Steven Dykeman and Brandon Dalloway. And then I know you've joined us a couple of times, Kat, and we've had, you know, some other players. A couple of
times. I'm always on there. Come on.
I mean, that's fair. You're always there. But, yeah, so we've had some other people, too, that come in and out on calls. And just, you know, some people we know from Michigan. And, honestly, it has been the biggest improvement I've ever had in my Magic game. And I think it's the whole, like the uplifting thing you talked about where you're, like, you know, playing some games on Magic online and I don't know any player who hasn't gone through this, but if you play on Magic line enough, you're going to hit cold streaks. And it can be really hard to just keep playing when you're, yes, you're doing terrible. It's just like, God, I just lost so many tickets. I just can't win a match. What is going wrong? And just have your friend be like, hey, look, I think you built your deck wrong. What if we made these changes and just, like, run it back? And, like, you know, just having that there is awesome. And then having someone to talk to, it just, like, makes it more fun and more entertaining and makes, like, grinding Modo a lot more interesting and, like, appealing, honestly. And, you know, personally, I'm at a spot where it's, like, kind of hard to play Modo when I'm not in a hangout now to, like, just be talking to people. And it's, like, I don't even really need, like, I don't even use as much the, like, you know, help me with this deck builder, help me with this play, as more as, you know, you're just online, like, talking to your friends and joking around, you know?
Yeah, and it's, like, also expected for you to, like, when you're on there to play Modo. I love Magic, and I hate Magic Online.
Yeah, Magic Online is, it has some issues.
I don't like it because one of the reasons I love playing Magic is the people. So when it was just, like, me jamming Modo by myself, it was awful because, like, I love playing Paper Magic. I will sit and play Paper Magic for 18 hours without even feeling. I'll probably forget to eat because I just love playing Magic so much. But on Magic Online, it was, like, you didn't have any, like, connection with the person. It was just, like, a guy would interact and talk to people in the chat and end up timing out because I just wanted some human connection while I'm playing. No,
that's fair. I mean, I honestly had the same situation going on where I actually played, like, that is the thing that drove me to play, like, when I first started playing, was meeting people and talking to them and connecting and stuff. And I never played Magic online for a long time because, like, I had an account, I could play, I cube drafted, like, every once in a while, but it was that, it was like I'd play one league and I'd just be like, ugh, this is so boring.
Yep.
But just having friends and people to talk to made it so much better.
Definitely. I didn't start playing until last December, even though I'd been like, trying to grind tournaments, but I was like, we always just met up to play test in person. But yep. Then it was like I was playing a different deck and was trying to like actually prep for a properly hard for like a team tournament. I was like, well, I guess I just need to suck it up and get on Modo. And but I would it would end up being just me like, yeah, sitting there. Well, I was also playing Red White Approach online a lot, which I could do by myself because it's like that deck's just, whoo, it's fun. That one's fun. That one sparked some great chat conversations.
Oh man, fun is not the word I would use for that.
God, the deck was so fun.
And maybe it was fun. You know, actually, I believe that it was fun. As long as you didn't say it was good, that's fair.
Yeah, I didn't say good. I said fun. Right, and fair. I did decently with it. So, but once it got to be, like, trying to, like, just constantly play Spirits online, like, this deck that I like, know I play well on paper, and we're trying to play it online and just, like, losing all the time was just so much because, first of all, the online meta is just all over the place. Trying to play Modern online is awful. But we have to do it. And so it just became, like, just really tedious. But then, like, so my friends in South Carolina down here, like, we started doing a Discord, but it ended up just being too many people, which that's one of the downsides of it is when it's too many people, it gets so overwhelming because there's so much, like, noise and people trying to talk about games and someone trying to tell you about your game, but then someone else is talking over them. And so there's, like, a happy medium of, like, I think, like, three or four other people in the Hangout, and it's, like, perfect, or the Discord. Yep. But so like the South Carolina one just got to be too many people, and then I like started jumping into y'alls, and now I got like I'm switching between like Lotus Boxes and y'alls, and it's just. But now I'm always in a Hangout. Like I can't imagine playing Magic online by myself if I'm not. I'm like either streaming or I'm on a Hangout because it makes it so much better.
Yeah, it makes it better, and it feels like a better use of your time too, honestly. But anyway, you mentioned testing for Team Trios a second ago, and I think that's a great lead-in to. This weekend we'll be playing in Columbus. I think for the purposes of this podcast, we're not super interested in specifics, but the Team Trios testing process is something that is now here to stay in Magic. It's newer, I guess. I mean, it's been going on for, you know, over a year at this point, but it's something that people, you know, are still kind of getting figured out, and it's, you know, it's not set in stone the right way to do it. There's a lot of different approaches to it. So let's talk about how we test for Team Trio events and, you know, kind of the different events that are, you know, different formats and different types of events that are available. So I know you're playing in Columbus this weekend. Mm-hmm. What are some of the methods you're using to test, I guess?
So I'm playing Standard. So it's a lot of, like, new Standard stuff. I'm really excited to play Standard. I haven't played Standard since the Invitational or since the RPTQ when it was just, like, red, black, and mono red and stuff like that.
Sure.
So, like, I'm really excited to play Standard, but it's really overwhelming. So it's basically just been, like testing for a Standard Open at this point. My team and I haven't really gotten super together. Normally, I probably should do that this week. Now that I'm saying that, probably should get the team together on a Hangout. Because normally, like, at this point, we've, like, done a couple of Hangouts and tested together, like, watch, like, the Legacy play. For me, it's important to, like, watch my teammates play their games, like, on Magic online so that, like, if they get and them talk to me about, like, why they're doing what they're doing. So if I can kind of, like, understand, like, how they're thinking about games, then I can be more helpful in other ones, or I can, like, try to catch something. Or if they're like, oh, yeah, I always miss this in paper, I can try to, like, be aware of that.
Sure.
Those kind of things. Modern, I'm very familiar with Modern. Turns out that's all I actually play. And so the Modern seed, I still like to, like, watch them play, and then they can, like, talk about Standard, and I can tell them, like, what I'm thinking about the decks and the meta and that kind of thing. But with Trios, it's so much, there's so much less, like, connect, because you're playing three different formats.
Yeah, I was going to say, you just mentioned you haven't even actually tested with your team yet. Do you think that's normal for Team Trios?
I think it just kind of depends. So I know that, Brandon Dalloway is teaming with Austin Collins and Lawrence Harmon, and I know Brandon and Lawrence have been working together a ton because they both play blue-white control and Modern, and so, like, they're trying to, like, perfect that deck potentially to play in Columbus. They might. I don't want to like say what their deck choice is. I don't know if I'm supposed to do that, but they're trying to like basically work on the deck together because they both have experience with it. But I don't know if that's always. That's not how it's been for me, at least when I've been on teams before. Like, we'll talk about stuff, but it hasn't been, like, as in-depth as they have been. I feel like they're at the extreme of, like, constantly working together. But then Austin's off doing his own, like, standard thing because neither of them play standard.
Sure.
So I feel like it just kind of, like, depends on your team dynamic. But I've definitely had teams where it's been all of us trying to work together on, like, a standard deck or the legacy deck or try to figure out what we think is best. And then I've had ones where it's we're all on our own island. And they both worked out fine.
Sure. I mean, are you, so you're playing standard, right? And you said you haven't tested with your team. Are you testing with like other people that are going to the event for standard specifically?
Yeah, I've been testing with Lotus Box and a lot. So I don't even know who on that team is actually playing standard, but we're all testing standard right now. So, that's what I've just been testing with Lotus Box a lot with Zan. Zan's been working on a lot of different decks and like, I have a very different, like Zan can play any deck. You can hit him any deck, he can play it in standard. I have a very specific like play style in standard right now. I don't have enough experience, in my opinion, yet in standard to like just pick up like a control deck and play it. I don't play control. I play mono red, beat you in the face.
All right, well, we're going to work on that. We're going to get you playing control pretty soon.
Right. That's what Zan's trying to do. I'm I'm skeptical, but I'm willing to try. So it's been – I've tested several decks that are just not my play style, but so we'll see what I'm doing. But it's been a lot of testing with Lotus Box and talking about cards and decks and trying to understand like what Zan thinks he's – we're going to see what I think we're going to see, that kind of thing.
So do you think it's like obviously you've been testing with Lotus Box and I don't think your teammates are on Lotus Box for this event, correct?
Yeah, no, they both of them are on Bearded Dragon. It's Peter Terbergen and Dan Miller are who I'm testing with. Yeah.
So do you think it's like awkward to test with two teams at once? Is that like an issue for you?
No, I don't think so. It just ends up being like a scheduling thing. Ends up being the hardest because I don't always have a ton of time to like work, and then I also create content and do lots of things, so I'm like we'll sleep like 6 hours a night and then never stop the rest of the day. So it's basically I don't think it's awkward because I feel like on the SCG tour, even though we're all like there's a lot of people on different teams, we still end up sharing a lot of information because we're all friends and we're all there's just way less to me. On the PT, you see a lot of people are, like, super protective of their decks and their deck choices and, like, the cards they think are good. And they use, like, specific testing accounts so that people don't associate them with their moto name and all those different things. And I just don't feel like it's like that way on the CG tour. So it doesn't feel awkward to me at all, where I could see it being awkward on like, a PT.
Sure. Yeah, and I believe that, where it's, you know, kind of different on the PT because it's one event for a lot of money and just like having an informational advantage is a big deal. Mm-hmm. But like on the SCG tour, you're playing modern like every other week. And it's like most of the modern decks are figured out. You kind of just like pick whatever modern deck you think is going to be good and just run that, you know?
Or you do what I do, which is literally play the exact same thing every time with like three different sideboard cards.
That's fair. Yeah. So anyway, for my team trios experience, I'm playing with Raja Suleiman and Steven Dykman, two of my good friends.
Oh, they're so great. That's going to be such a fun team.
Oh, I'm hyped. It's going to mean a lot because Dykman's been having a pretty rough go in life recently. And we're really excited to get, you know, just like get to play Magic with him and cheer him up and get him going. So
I'm going to have all of the puns for him. And my goal is to literally make him laugh between every round with some stupid pun or some there stupid joke. It's going to be great.
Hell yeah. I love it. So anyway, for our like actual team trio process, I'm the Legacy player because I'm the only one on our team who's ever played Legacy. So
that seems like a good slot for you.
Yeah, so they just put me in the Legacy seat. And honestly, Legacy is not my preferred format. I just have the cards to play it and have played it and like have had some reasonable success. So it's just like, all right, you're playing Legacy for us. But we actually have this weird team dynamic where every single one of us only wants to play standard because we all just like standard the most. And I actually, it's like kind of debatable. I like standard. I think I like modern a little more, but you know, I love playing standard. Obviously, I think it's the format I've seen the most success in. So given any choice, I would play standard. Dykman prefers to only play standard, and Raja also prefers to only play standard. So we're kind of having this fight where it's like neither one of them want to play Modern. So we're just like, one of them is going to play Modern, and that's what it is. But yeah, so for our testing process, we're kind of in the same spot you are, where it's like we, you know, it's week one of a new standard format. Nobody knows what's going on. We're testing like as many decks as we can get our hands on, trying to figure out what's actually good, what cards people are sleeping on, that type of situation. And it's been a process. There's a lot of games you got to play, a lot of stuff going on. For standard or Modern and Legacy, I'm just going to play the Legacy deck I have. I could play maybe two different decks and then don't have a huge choice there. I'm just going to play the one I've had success with. And then in Modern,
about to say, in Legacy, it's, does my blue white deck have a win condition or not, are your two options.
That's true. I mean, actually, I actually own one of the Legacy deck, but it's Death and Taxes, which is not actually a very cheap Legacy deck, or it is a very cheap Legacy deck for me.
So is specifically. It, do you want to win or not, are your two options then?
Well, Death and Taxes is actually very good in the format. I think the deck's quite good, but
I just
one
say,
of my decks can play Force of Will and Brainstorm. The other one can't, so I'm going to play the blue one.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Let's say, like, are you sure it's good? Because Blue-White Spirits and Legacy actually whoops up on it. So,
I believe that. I mean, it has a very good game against some of the blue decks because of Palace Jailer. Palace Jailer really changed that deck. I don't think the deck was good before Palace Jailer, but once they added it, that card is a house against some decks. So,
I really enjoy it when they play it. Again, the only Legacy deck I play is Blue White Spirits, which is a meme deck. But when I, like, my opponent would play like Palace Jailer, I was like, I don't think you should have brought that card in because all my things fly.
Yeah, this isn't good for you.
This isn't good for you in the way you think it is.
Yep. Yeah. So anyway, we're just trying to figure out the Modern player, and I think it's going to end up being Dykeman because he hasn't tested Standard as much, and he's just going to play. I mean, you know, he's a really good player. He can play, I don't know, four or five different Modern decks. So we're just going to hand him one and.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll play it and do pretty well. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, past the team practicing and specifics there, you want to talk about some like actual team event dynamics, like how you handle playing the actual event when you're at the event?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that I've really noticed about teams I've really enjoyed being on is even if we lose, No one blames anyone. No one holds anything against them. One of the most positive team experiences I've ever had was actually, well, obviously, it was with Kwame and Will in Atlanta when we got second. That was the best. That's one of the literal best team I've ever had. We worked super well together. But there was definitely still like a lot of the stress moments, the holding against our, like, I put a lot of pressure on myself, and there was like a loss that I like, held against myself, that kind of thing. But like in a like a mental like positivity standpoint, the best team I've ever had was in at SCG Dallas. It was with Sam and Peter, and it was just amazing. It was this, no one held anything against each other. It was Sam Grabner and Peter Terbergen. Sorry, I should be specific. And I was playing Modern, and they would ask me some questions. We helped each other, but it was just like minimal amounts of help where you just kind of like needed like some confirmation. We understood what the other ones were like doing in their formats. If like I lost a game, they were both like, hey, it's fine, like we made a misplay, we'll get it next time. Like we went like 4-5 or maybe 5-4, and but it was it was awesome. That weekend was amazing, and we went 5-4.
Sure.
Because it was just so positive. And that's something I really, really love about team events, is when your team is, again, like the uplifting and the making, playing Magic and actually having fun is just, that's great. And in individual events, sometimes it's super easy, like, for me to get in my own head. And,
oh, I believe it. Yeah. No, that's a common thing, actually.
Yeah. And it ends up being kind of, like, toxic. And so, like, team events for me end up being super great because it keeps me out of my own head. And it also, like, one of my teammates is really hard on themselves. It, like, I get to be that person that's, like, I'm going to uplift you. And I'm going to help you feel better. It's okay. We all do this. And that, it helps everyone's tilt all around, like, stay as low as possible. And so, like, I'm really excited to team with Peter again this weekend because he and I just, like, also synergize really, really well with that. So, that's my favorite thing about team dynamics. And is, you're basically all on your own island until, like, mentally you're like, hey, help me. I'm about to, like, tilt off.
Sure. Yeah, no, I believe it. And that is definitely one of the better things about team events. So I totally agree with you on the mentality thing. The team really helps with that. And one of the awesome things about teams is, you know, one of you can lose, the other two people still win. And even if you lost, it still feels like you won, you know?
Yes, definitely. And I play Magic for the people. Like, I love the game and I love winning and I love playing Spirits. I love playing Magic, but I also love the community and I love the people and I love interacting with people. And so I seriously love team events. I've never gotten upset if I had the best record on the team and we didn't make day two. I'm not gonna say I've never gotten upset. It's never affected me that much if my team experience was positive, if I had the best record on the team and we didn't make day two, or I had the worst record on the team and we didn't make day two, or I had the worst record on the team and we did make day two, which hasn't happened yet. But when that does happen, it just doesn't really get to me as long as my team is great and my team was fun. And I've had every team event I've been to has been really positive and really fun.
No, absolutely. And that's kind of been my experience. I've had one team event that wasn't particularly fun, and it was just a lot of losing going on. And it was still better than it would have been if we were doing that losing, you know, solo. So No complaints from me on that. But for me, I wanted to hit on the actual, like, aspects of playing. I found in the standard modern Legacy games that really there's a lot more interacting between teams than I think people should. I think in those matches you should almost never interact. You know, keeper mold decisions are fine. Asking stuff about like your opponent's deck, like, you know, maybe they play their first land, you'd be like, oh, what deck do you think they're on? That type of thing, fine. Sideboarding, all good. But when you're playing, I found that you know, you should kind of just like let your teammates play the game. And maybe they're like a weaker player, they need help, cool, go help them, let them, you know, give them the help they're asking for. But I don't think it's generally beneficial to like kind of butt into a game and try to like help someone out. I think it just kind of makes it worse. It's just like an unnecessary distraction for the other players. So for me, I've just noticed people like interacting way more than they need to, and I feel like sometimes it gives information away. There's just like, there's not as much to be gained as there is to like, there's not as much you actually gain as there is like information given away that hurts. And like giving away information is pretty bad in Magic, obviously. So
yeah, I can agree with that. I've definitely been on both sides of it, where like I wasn't as good of a player and I definitely needed help and didn't want to screw things up for my team. And so I like asked a lot of questions, but I've gotten, as I've played more and more Magic, I've definitely gotten to the point where it's less interaction is better. But I've also had a couple of team events where I wish I'd been paying attention to my teammates more after I did start paying attention to them and watched some bad plays and was like, is this why you've been losing? Like, were all the games just winnable or something like that? And this, so, but I think like that's probably just a thing where I might need to choose a different team in the future.
Well, that, to me, that's like the type of thing where it's like, that should be worked out, you know, ahead of time, mm-hmm. right? Where you're like testing online ahead of time or testing in paper, whatever testing you're doing ahead of time, you should be working with them there and being like, well, hey, I don't like this play. Maybe we should do it this way, whatever. Yeah. And then, you know, if like a situation comes up again, like I think asking for help should be encouraged. Like, I think if you're like, seriously, like I have these two options, I don't know which one to do, what would you do? Like, that's an awesome thing to ask in a team event. Yeah, go ahead. You know, discuss that, do that. That's cool. That's, you know, one of the better parts of team events, honestly. And I think that's good and something you should utilize. And like I said, you know, kind of prior, was if someone's asking for something, definitely help them. But I think, you know, the whole butting in thing and just being like, well, hey, why'd you keep that? Or, hey, why'd you do this? Like, I think that's going to hurt the team a lot more than people realize. So
yeah, I agree with that, the butting in part. But if you need help, ask. But then if you don't, like, don't offer information unless they're about to make like an egregious misplay.
Sure. Yep, and that's totally fair. So anyway, I think we've hit on a bunch of the awesome parts of team testing and playing team events. And there's definitely some negatives to it too. So I want to kind of hit on some of the negative aspects to playing teams, just to hit both sides of the coin here. you know, for me, one of the things I've noticed when you're playing these team events is it really is, like, Magic really is a solo game. And it can be hard, you know, to find teams if you aren't a very social player. And, you know, like, the whole networking aspect, it can really make it tough to, you know, actually put together a team, have one set up, and be able to play in events with them. So, I know team events are great, but that can seriously be an issue for these events.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. The first one was like back in January in Philadelphia. I had friends from South Carolina that I teamed with, and I teamed with them again. But then there was like a team event where they weren't going, and they'd been who I'd been teaming with, and like I basically convinced Will and Kwame to team with me for Atlanta.
Sure.
Oh no, because they were going, but their normal team member that they teamed with was actually going. So I was like, oh, well, shit. Yep. I have to find a team. And I basically talked Will and Kwame. I talked Will into doing it with me. Kwame and I are tight, and so he's just great. And he was like, sure, I'll take one for the team. I'll team with you, Kat. and it ended up being really good. And that helped. That getting second there helped me find teams for later events. Turns out that once people start getting to know who you are, they want to team with you. But it definitely has. I still get stressed out about trying to find a team for events and trying to get them done super ahead of time, even though like I'm on Lotus Box. Like, it still stresses me out for next season. Like, I'm like, I don't know, we don't have the schedule yet. What if I can't get a team for an event? I need these points.
Yep.
And I feel like I know a lot of people and I still get stressed out about it. I can't imagine being like going, like, I can't imagine it because I was there where you're like, well, my friends can't go. I don't really know anyone. How am I supposed to get a team? I want to start grinding these events, but this is really difficult to find people to play with. And if you're a new player, you're going to feel like you're, like, I felt it, like I was weighing my team down.
Yeah, team events for sure are not very new player friendly. So that is definitely an issue with them.
But there's so many of them. I feel like that is something that could be, like, there could be, it should probably only be like four or five team events a year for SCG. Well, I think right now, I think they've had 8 or not. They're going to have 9. And Philly got canceled. This year, I think there's going to be 9.
Well, it is kind of newer too. There's kind of the new, like, the aspect of, like, you know, we're about to add this. We're going to see how it goes. And it's been wildly successful. I think people as a whole love team events, but, you know, there's definitely some negatives. So.
Yeah, and I love them. I don't know. I think what really does it for me is that they're all back-to-back. It was always like one team event, then another team event, and one team event, sure, then another team event. And that's what really got to me. It was like trying to like back-to-back find teams.
Sure.
And when you try to plan super far out, people end up flaking, and then you're like, well, crap, now I have to find a third, but everyone else already has teams. So like that part of it is definitely stressful, and I know a lot of newer players, relatively newer, who aren't going to Columbus because either their friends couldn't go or they couldn't find a team or they don't want to ask anyone because they don't either want to be someone say no or they don't want to feel like they're weighing down that person because they're better, like they feel like that person's better than them.
No, absolutely. I mean, there are some real like issues to the political aspects of teaming in Magic. Like one thing that we've run into a lot recently is, you know, we have this big testing group online of, you know, just like people we play with, and they all, like, we're all good friends. We all want to team together at every event, but like that'd be like a 15-person team. Like you can't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to like split up. Well, like, do you play this format? Do you play this format? Whatever. And then on top of that, there's like the issue of like if you have a regular team, and then like one of them can't go, you got to like find a replacement. But like someone else might already have a regular team, and then asking them is awkward. And there's also, like, the awkward thing of, like, if you don't have a regular team, but, like, you have a team for that event, and, like, people ask, and, like, hey, do you want a team? You're like, well, no, I have a team. You got to, like, it's kind of awkward to reject them with, like, you know, one of your friends being like, hey, I really need a team. Can I join you? And it's like, well, I already have 3, man. I'm sorry. So.
Yep. It actually surprised me. It was, like, I've had several people ask about, like, teaming in Columbus or teaming in Las Vegas, and I was like, oh no, I've had my Vegas team booked for like 2 months. Sure. I plan everything out. Like as soon as the schedule's released, I'm like trying to have my team booked for the entire season. Trying to have like teams for every event. And which is also really difficult to do because a lot of people in Magic don't like to plan that far out in advance.
Sure. Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely... That's one of the issues we have is that our team doesn't like to plan stuff out until, like, a week and a half ahead. And we've had it happen once already where we, like, mentioned we were going to team, like, 3 months ahead of the event, but we normally don't plan anything out until, like, a week ahead. And then we ask one of the teammates that we normally team with a week ahead, and he's like, oh, no, I already accepted to be on a team, like, 2 weeks ago or, like, a week ago. We're like, what? Like, why, man? We always team, but it happens. So it can be awkward. It can be frustrating. And, you know, that you definitely see people voicing frustrations on this on Twitter, and, you know, we get it. It's not perfect, but, you know, I think personally as a whole, team events have just been great for Magic, so I'm happy they're doing them.
I totally agree. And you also, you get to see a lot more Legacy played, which is awesome because we rarely ever get to see Legacy played. And
absolutely.
I don't play it. I play very little Legacy. I've played Legacy like a week before Baltimore and then in Baltimore.
Sure.
But I really love watching Legacy coverage. I think Legacy coverage is some of the most fun Magic to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And so... Like, I love that it's, like, you get to see all three, like, major formats played. And if one format, like, you like Standard over Modern or Modern over Standard, like, your format's going to get covered that day at some point. And I think that's really, really cool. So coverage is really cool for it. And it also, like, I get a chance to play some Standard for an event because they have very few Standard Opens. Or they have no Standard Opens the last two seasons, actually. So I get to play some Standard, and then I get to play some Modern. Or maybe I want to jump into Legacy for one, and I have a big break, and... So I think it's really cool that we get to kind of like pick what format we want to play. That's kind of awesome.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from a coverage perspective, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So moving past the actual team, the SCG team stuff, I wanted to hit on some of the team stuff I'm doing for this Pro Tour.
Yes.
I can't dig too deep into it because, one, I just settled my team yesterday, so we haven't really gotten that deep into it. And two, I'm not even sure how much I'm allowed to disclose from it, all of that stuff. But as for the actual test process, we had, I think, four of the members from the team yesterday and some other people that we know are also qualified for the PT. Just go to our local store, RW, and we ordered some boxes. Wizards changed their policy now so that you can order full sealed boxes at pre-release and just pick up the boxes. You can't, like, buy solo packs. And you can't, like, buy boxes there, but if you, like, pre-order boxes, you can pick them up at pre-release. And I think they just recently changed that, maybe, like, one of the last, like, Dominaria or something, one of the more recent sets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I found out we were allowed to do that. We did that, ordered a bunch of boxes, and just got a bunch of people together and, you know, drafted all day yesterday. And it was awesome. It was some of the most fun I've ever had. Just the whole, like... You know, we're trying to figure out this draft format. Everyone's battling. We're, you know, drafting the rares after. Like, if you won, you got to draft rares and just, like, determine pick order for the rares. It was so much fun. Put together a bunch of data from, like, what was doing good in draft and, you know, what was bad, what cards, you know, kind of pick order. Starting to, like, establish a pick order, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for the draft format. And, man, I'm not a huge fan of Limited. I haven't typically liked Limited all that much. You know, I've done well in some Limited events that I've played in, but I think on a whole, Limited to me is less fun than Constructed. But yesterday was some of the most fun I've ever had playing Magic. And again, it's like the whole, you know, everyone here is excited to play Limited. We're all playing Limited, and it was awesome. So, you know, I don't know if that's a very easily replicated experience, but if you ever get a chance to, like, get eight people together and just draft for, like, a weekend or just, like, a day even, like, it is awesome. It is something I would highly suggest to people. And, yeah, definitely. It was a ton of fun.
I'm also not, like, a huge Limited player, but I really enjoyed the pre-release. Like, I actually really enjoyed putting together a sealed deck the other day. Like, the cards are just super fun in the set, and, one second. Getting to, like, choose a guild so you know that you have a little bit more support for that, those colors that you want. So, like, even though, like, my packs, there's no way I could have gone Boros with the packs that I had. But because I had a little bit of extra help, and the other cards, like, the red-white cards that I had, like, it all worked together. And I think this set's, like, really, really cool with how, for Limited. I think it's really, so far it seems really fun, and I'm excited to, like, eventually draft it. Which I've never said the words, I'm excited to draft in my entire history of me playing Magic, because I've always hated limited.
Well, but except, now you're excited to draft.
Except for Kaladesh draft. I like Kaladesh draft. But yeah, now I'm really excited to draft.
All right, awesome.
So
yeah, I'm kind of going through a limited revival too now, and it's, you know, it's coming at a point where they're talking about taking limited off the Pro Tour. Not Wizards, I don't think, but some other people just higher up in the game, whatever.
Yeah, it's been on Twitter. People are like not very happy with limited on the Pro Tour.
Sure, and limited coverage can be bad, but like I think limited will kind of get a bad rap from how bad it can be for coverage. But just, you know, if you're like, if you get a chance to play some limited with like friends, it is awesome. It's a ton of fun. So,
and I liked the way, so one of the first limited coverages, the coverage I ever watched was Eternal Weekend.
Okay.
For, it was like a while ago, and they actually like, they did the thing where you like get to watch the single drafter. So like for the draft part, it's like you got to watch the drafter actually go through, like, it was Eternal Masters. I think it was Eternal Weekend. It was Eternal Masters set. And so they drafted that, and then we actually watched that player. From what I remember, we watched that player play each of their matches. So you got to see like how they formed their deck, and I feel like if you, they did something where, like they did for like GP Reed Duke in Richmond, where you like, you watch the drafter draft, then you like pull them aside to like have them talk through their deck, like how, why they're picking these things, what they were thinking about in the draft, and then like you watch them play all of their matches, it'd be a lot better. And then they also did something where they had Huey do a sealed pool, so like he opened all the sets and like talked through like what he wanted to do with his sealed pool for, like, I think it was Kaladesh, actually. No, it was Aether Revolt. And so like I feel like that, those parts of it make limited coverage a lot better, where it's like you're following someone, there's like personal interactions, like that kind of connection to what's going on in the coverage would make limited coverage a lot better.
Oh no, I agree with you on that. I think they need to figure out ways to make limited coverage better for sure. But just to kind of wrap up the PT team testing, we'll probably keep you more updated as this goes along, and maybe hit on it next episode if there's an opportunity for that. But, you know, suffice it to say, it kind of got me inspired to play limited again. And, you know, one of the other things that made me inspired to play limited again is the set rotation. I mean, obviously the new set coming out, I was not at all interested in Core 19. But, you know, Guilds of Ravnica is here, and it's awesome, and we're all excited to play. So, I think, Kat, you want to hit our Mount Rushmore right now?
Yes. So we're going to do our Mount Rushmores of our favorite things about new sets and rotation. So what's your first one?
All right. For me, my favorite thing about rotation, new set, that whole time period is spoiler season. The number one right there, spoiler season. You know, I hear some negatives. I hear some people not like spoiler season, but for me, just like every single day, like open up your phone, look on Twitter around, you know, 11 a.m. my time personally, and just like, okay, what came out? What's spoiled? What is this? What does this card mean? All that, just like all the things that go through your head. I love it. It's one of my favorite times at Magic. I absolutely worship spoiler season.
Yeah, I am. I can't stand spoiler season.
Oh, what? Why?
I am a Grinch when it comes to spoiler season, because like straight up, I'm like, no, because it's these individual cards get released, and it's great. These individual cards get released, and everyone's like, oh my god, this card is busted. Bubba busted. I can't believe they're gonna have to ban it. Oh my god, I can't believe all these things. And it drives me up the fucking wall.
So you're not in for the overreaction season?
No, like we haven't seen the whole set. We don't know if it's gonna be busted. Maybe in Eternal formats, but what always happens is it's not that big of a deal. Everyone flipped out about, like, Fatal Push and other cards that just didn't do that. Like, Fatal Push was great. It became a staple. It's awesome. It made, like, these removal decks great. But it didn't... I don't think it impacted the format nearly as much as people thought it did.
Sure.
And I don't... Everything with Assassin's Trophy, like, I don't think that card's going to be nearly as good as people think it is in Standard or in Modern. And it's just... It just gets to me that everyone's... And they're like, oh my god, look at this deck, and look at this deck, and this card's gonna be, you're gonna have to ban this in Standard because of these interactions, and it's like, that's like four different cards, all you have to have all at the same time, like, calm down.
Okay, let me give you a shortcut for spoiler season here that might maybe make you like it a little better.
Okay.
When everyone's looking at these cards, and they're like getting all excited, you can just like apply one thing to it and just know if they're like right or not. It's just like, is the card blue? If yes, it is busted. If no, not busted. And in this case, Assassin's Trophy is not blue, so not busted.
But Missions Briefing is blue, and it's still trash.
Okay, that card might be trash.
So that's like my thing on spoiler season is I'm just not Like, I'm really excited to see the new set and see the new cards. I'm like, this is a really cool mechanic, but it's just the overhype gets to me. I love to be hyped up. The overhype gets to me.
That's fair. So what's your number one on the Mount Rushmore?
My number one is brewing, quote, like, bold face, all new decks. So if there's rotation, like, half your cards are leaving, and then you have a whole new set coming. And so I love that the entire meta is unknown. I love that unknown, trying to figure things out, see how, like, because you can't just build one deck. You have to build seven decks so you know what decks to expect.
Sure.
So I really love that. I get to, like, get all the creative juices flowing and trying to do something like that. Because with playing a lot of modern, you don't really, like, you can brew decks, but it ends up, most of the time, it's like the decks are kind of, like, already figured out, unless there's, like, another new set coming out. So in standard, getting to, like, actually create something is, like, really, really cool. And I love that. I love it so much.
Yeah, building a sideboard for new standard is hard, for sure.
Yeah, yes.
It really is, because you don't know what you're going to see. You got to kind of predict what people are going to play. And there's, like, there's some amount of, like, you can over-predict it, too. You're like, oh, man, I think the red deck's really good. Everyone's going to be playing red. And you show up, there's, like, 10 people playing red because somebody found it. And then everyone else is playing some goofy whatever deck. And you're like, well, I have all these cards for this deck I thought everyone was going to play, and nobody played it.
Yes, definitely. And you're just – so I'm so used to, like, in old standard, like, with these – you have these slots for the, like, slots for artifacts, slots for creature decks, slots for ground creature, like, that kind of thing. Like, we're going to have this big go big sideboard plan, whatever. And that might not apply at all to new standard. Like, there's no real relevant artifacts right now, so you don't need to have a smelt in your sideboard – where you used to have, like, an abrade and that kind of thing. It's like you said, like, completely redo how you're thinking about the format.
Sure. And no, that you are right. That is definitely an awesome part of rotation. I mean, that is the best part of rotation. It's just, like, the unknown. You're diving in. You're getting to, like, learn and experience all new stuff. It's great.
Yes.
It really is. So my number two on Mount Rushmore is kind of piggybacking off of your number one, and it is specifically brewing a control deck for week one standard. And I think if anybody is familiar with new standard, you know this is a horrible idea. It is generally thought to be a very bad idea to bring a control deck to week one standard, because you just don't know what you're going to see. You don't know what you're going to play against. You can't prepare, you know, the right answers appropriately. It's a very, very hard thing to do to get it right. But me personally, I love the challenge. I love trying, like, to actually successfully bring a control deck to week one standard, you kind of have to figure out all the other viable decks and, like, test against all of them and kind of figure out how the matchups go and then, like, figure out your sideboard. It's really hard. It's a lot of work. But, like, if you nail it, it feels so awesome. I have had this experience, I think, once where I just, like, had a great control deck at week one standard. And, oh, my God, it was awesome. I think I ended up top 8ing that SCG, too, when I did it. But
That was awesome.
It was so much fun. Because no one's prepared for control week one. They usually don't, like, have a bunch of control because it's a bad idea to bring control. So it's like you kind of have this dark horse of, like, oh, man, this deck's great. No one's ready for it. You know, I kind of have figured out all the stuff they're doing. It just feels amazing. So, yeah, my number two, brewing control for week one.
I think that you're a crazy person for doing that. But I'm not going to say that I haven't been testing a couple of control decks also, because they actually look pretty sweet and with guilds. So
sure.
I don't think it's out of the question for it to be fine. But, you know, in my heart, it's mono red. So it's probably what I'm playing.
Yep, mono red still there. Never going away.
Never, ever, ever. Which makes me happy. So my number two, even though I hate spoiler season, once the set's been released, I love the excitement in the community for everyone. It's just like this rejuvenation of life in standard, just in magic. Everyone is so excited. They're like, let me go out and play these new cards and play a bunch of magic. And everyone on Twitter is just so pumped. And it during the summer, it can get, especially during the summer, it can kind of stale.
Oh, because yeah,
standard,
sure.
Right before rotation, it's been that standard for so long. Like, it was so much red-black over the summer. And stale is, God, I feel like an understatement. And so, like, now there's just, like, this rejuvenation where everyone's super excited. The brewing decks, they're like, oh, I want to go play Magic. I want to try this out. There's pre-releases. And I love that level of, like, excitement in the game, because, like, I love playing the game. When people are excited about it, I'm excited about it. Again, except for the overhype and spoilers. That part, not so much. But the actual excitement about playing the game and playing pre-releases and people wanting to go play standard, and oh, I love it so much. I like feed off of it. Like, it brings, when other people around me are excited, like, I get excited, and I just, I love every second of it.
Oh, I am totally with you on this. I love looking at Twitter when, like, just like the whole spoiler season thing is going on, even like a little after when people are still brewing before like the first big event,
mm-hmm.
and just like you see everybody has a hot take, like favorite card, and it's like, yeah, maybe that card's not good, or maybe that card actually is really good, but it's like the fact that everyone's excited, it just makes you so excited too. It's just so uplifting, you know?
Yes, I 100%. I'm with you.
And, like, just, like, all the cards that, like, inspire people to, like, just brew and build. And it's, like, you don't have that a lot of the time. But, like, you know, like, just for me personally, like, new set, a card called Ionize came out, which is not even particularly a very good card. But it's just, like, the type of card I love. It's just, like, oh, how can I brew around this? What can I make, like, work with it? And it's just, like, I posted it on Twitter. I had, like, three other people, like, oh, yeah, it goes in this type of deck. It's just, like, yes, this is awesome.
Yes, I totally, yes. Like, so my card right now is I'm obsessed with Risk Factor.
Okay.
I think that card is incredible. So, like, I'm totally with you. Like, you like Ionize, I'm all about Risk Factor. Like, the fact that card's an instant, just, whew, it does dirty things to me. I'm so excited to cast it.
I was going to say, it's a perfect perfect word for you right there. The Risk Factor.
The Risk Factor. So, what's your number three, Zach?
All right. My number three is pre-release. Just the actual, you go to pre-release, there's a bunch of new players there, there's a bunch of, like, more experienced older players there, the whole, like, everyone comes to pre-release, nobody's seen these cards yet, no one's really got to, you know, practice and play with them. It just makes, it's just one of the funnest weekends of the entire season. You know, you just get to your first few rounds kind of just get to be like a meet and greet with, you know, newer players just trying to figure stuff out, and you get to discuss a bunch of stuff and talk it over, and then the later rounds kind of just be, you know, the players that are more seasoned, you know, kind of tend to win and kind of all rise to the top to play against each other. So you get, you know, a little mix of competition with a little mix of, you know, casual fun play. And I just love pre-release so much. It's so much fun. Go ahead.
I would say, like, I totally agree. And, like, getting the first chance to, like, play with the cards. And I also don't play a lot of local Magic, so I get to see a bunch of friends I haven't seen in a while when I've got go to pre-releases. And, pre-release is great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my local store just does a huge pre-release every single set. You know, it gets, like, around 100 players at them, and it's just, it's so big, it's so much fun. Just the excitement is all there. I don't know. I love it. But I don't think you disagree with this at all, so what's your number three?
My number three piggybacks on that, but it's the new players that are entering the game.
Ooh, okay.
So, like, pre-release, even though it's, like, a sealed format, and sealed can be hard, and it's all new cards and stuff like that. You get a lot of new players or haven't been playing for very long coming up to pre-releases because it's just so exciting have the new cards. And it's super fun, especially the Midnight. The Midnight one's fun until it's not fun, which is about right after round two, where you're just like, what do you mean we have two more rounds? It's 4 a.m. Like, I'm going to bed. I'm going to take my two packs and go to bed, which is what I did on Friday. But I also, so round one, I played against a brand new player. She's had played Pokemon before, but she hadn't played Magic before, and I've never actually helped someone learn how to play Magic. Obviously people helped me learn how to play, but I've never been in a situation where someone was like, yeah, this is my second time playing the game. And I was just like, oh, this is no pressure at all. It's fine. Okay. It's like no pressure at all, like to help them to learn the game and to love it. And so it ended up being, she like showed me, she was like, do I keep this? Just like flashed me her hand like before we started game one. I was like, okay, this is going to be one of those situations, I guess. But it got to be like a lot of fun. Like, I was like, so we're going to sequence it. Like, I was like, so let's make sure you like know how the cards work and like how they're laid out and basics of the game. Like, she knew the basics and talking about like sequencing and how to make attacks and blocks. And, like it was a lot of fun to be able to help someone like, who obviously was there and wants to have fun and stuff, like, gets to, like, enjoy the game and also gets to, I don't know, help them hopefully win the next round.
Sure.
So it was an experience I haven't had before, and it also gave me a lot of appreciation for my friends that helped me learn how to play the game, like Kwame and Will and all of them, and actually helping me, and Liz, my friend Liz, all helping me learn how to actually play the game and taking the time to do what, like, I did for her, which... There was moments where I was like, okay, I've told you this three times. we're going to do it a fourth time. And I'm just like, I know they had to do that for me over and over and over again. And sure. I appreciate them so much more after that experience. And it was a lot of fun.
No, absolutely. And to piggyback on this, like, I know you said you're kind of, you know, more recent to seeing new players come into the game, but I've been playing for a little bit longer now, and I go to all these pre-releases, so this is, like, a pretty common thing for me is that, I play against the new guy. Mm-hmm. And one of the coolest things about it is seeing, like, the new guy come back and, like, start their journey on, like, learning the game.
Oh, gosh.
I've had this, like, a couple times where it's just, like, I played against somebody at their first pre-release, and they came up and they played against me. You know, they're asking me questions about Magic. It's like, oh, yeah, I kind of play a lot of tournaments, and, I travel for the game a lot. And they're like, oh, my God, really? You, like, go to all that? Like, yeah, I kind of do, a bunch of stuff with it, blah, blah, blah. And they'll be like, oh, that's so cool, And we'll play. And then, if they're new, you're probably going to win because they don't really know what they're doing yet. And mm-hmm. they'll be asking you questions, all that stuff. And then, I'll always drop to like, hey, well, we play standard. If you ever want to come out, we can get you a standard deck or whatever, figure something out, get you playing. And I've had a couple of people actually come back and, continue playing. And just, like, watching them learn and, like, grow in Magic is so awesome. And they'll, like, come to you with, like, questions about, stuff you've already learned in Magic. And it's just, like, it's really cool to answer them and just, like, see their eyes light up with, like, they're trying to figure out this puzzle. It's, like, actually a really hard puzzle if you didn't already know the answer. But it's, like, having played for a long time, it's, like, you solved it a while ago. So you're, like, yeah, we do this in that scenario or whatever. And they're just, like, oh, my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, I unfortunately, like, not playing since I – my local Magic's pretty much limited to pre-releases. I want to have those experiences so badly because I love that. Like, my friends did that for me. Like, I wouldn't be playing Magic if I hadn't. I don't think I'd still be playing Magic if I hadn't met the people that I did at my old LGS. But I, like, I'm excited for when eventually having an LGS and end up having those experiences because it sounds so amazing to, like, basically, like, paying back like what somebody did for you at one point and getting to help sure. and build up this game that we all love so much.
Oh, absolutely. Well, all right, let's wrap this up. My number four on Mount Rushmore is the Pro Tour. And I'm not talking about the recent Pro Tours that are like 2 months out. I'm talking about when they still had the Pro Tour like 2 weeks after set release. And oh my gosh, that was always my favorite part of Magic for sure. Well, not favorite part of Magic, but favorite part of spoiler season, because, you'd spend all this time doing the other things we talked about where you're like brewing decks, you're trying to predict stuff, you kind of figure out what you're going to bring to week one. You're like, well, what's the truth? Like, is any of this right? Like, if the best players in the world were figuring this or trying to figure this out, what would they think? And then you actually get to see it. You actually get to see the metagame they bring, the decks they brewed, how they built them. It's so awesome. I love like week two Pro Tour. I really hope they bring it back. And it really is that so much fun.
I totally agree. I used to love that. And it also, like, it set the week two Pro Tour, like, set the foundation for the meta, but then the meta still changed a bunch because they were so rushed.
Yep.
And, like, their decisions. So it gave, I felt like standards still changed a lot and fluctuated even after the Pro Tour when it was only 2 weeks out, where now it's like, it's pretty solidified. You kind of know what people are going to bring. There's rarely, like, a breakout deck or, like, it's, like, something like blue-green Karn that's actually really bad.
Sure.
And so I really hope they bring it back because it was just, to me, it made it to where it didn't, the format, the meta wasn't established. It gave, like, a great foundation, but it still, like, gave people a lot of, like, options of, like, what they want to play as people, like, figured out more things. It didn't, I feel like the standard wasn't as stale.
Oh, absolutely.
But my number four is, I actually really enjoy revisiting modern decks.
Oh, and that's a good one. Good call.
Yeah. So, like, obviously we play a lot of modern on the SCG Tour. That's pretty much all we play.
Sure.
And so getting to, like, look at the set and be like, think about, like, different decks that could be affected by this one. And are there decks that, like, have been really close to being viable but haven't been? Like, Stitcher Supplier for Vengevine decks. Like, that card yep. made it so that deck was actually reasonable to play.
Yep.
And very consistent. And, like, Supreme Phantom. So Banned Spirits, obviously, has always been good. It was just harder to play. But then Supreme Phantom made it where people would actually touch the deck because it gave you sometimes you just had, like, free wins where you just beat people in the face. And that deck, like, put – or that card made it so that people were more willing to try Banned Spirits and made it where people realized it was the best deck in Modern.
I'm not going to go that far, but I agree with your other points.
I guess we shouldn't touch that one this time. Maybe next podcast. But so, like, I really enjoy reasoning modern decks. So, like, specifically for an example, like Knight of Autumn. I'm so excited for that card.
Yeah, it's a real card.
To put 2 to 3 of them in the sideboard Advanced Spirits, and it's just going to crush some Burn players' dreams, and it's going to make me so happy in the process.
Oh, so, yeah.
That is what I'm excited about, mostly.
Yeah, too bad that's not a Knight Spirit. It's a Knight Dryad or a Dryad Knight.
Yeah, it's not even an elf. Can't even use it in stand. It's not an elf or a human.
Yeah, pretty unfortunate.
Not that humans needed any more help.
Sure.
That deck's a little busted.
That is true. Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing it's not a human.
Put it that way. It's a very good thing.
Okay, well, that's what we got for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed the Mount Rushmore. Hope you guys enjoyed the discussion on teaming. If you guys want to, you know, kind of connect with us, you can find me on Twitter at A22EN. And where can we find you, Kat?
So I'm on Twitter at HellcatMTG. And I'm also streaming. I stream on Twitch. I haven't streamed on Twitch in like 2 weeks, but I'm going to stream this coming week on Twitch at HellcatMTG. And then also you can find me on another podcast called VClick Podcast. We have a Twitter, which is VClick Podcast, and a SoundCloud, which is VClick Podcast. So, branding. Those are the places that I can be found. And also, both of us will be at SCG Columbus this weekend. So if you see us, please come up and say hi. We'd love to meet y'all and talk about whatever there is off of this podcast or other topics. Like, just come up and say hi. We'd love to meet everyone.
Yeah, and if you actually made it all the way through this and listen to the end and you come up and mention that you want your free playmat to me or Kat, we'll have a couple on us to give away for free. So come up and say hi. You might be able to get yourself a signed playmat.
Yes, definitely.
All right, awesome. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Bye.